B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Trey Thomas still very much enjoying his well-earned vacation. Mark Farzetta, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch. We got Pat Egan today. Is that Salchunas character in?
Yeah, he's here. I just ran into Andy over there.
Did he get a breakfast sandwich?
I'm sure, you know. No.
I'm just curious.
No, but that
sandwich game.
The Andrew's on the outside on this situation. It's three of us. 4 in the morning.
All right.
Here we are.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of these, you know, the old Sesame Street thing. One of these kids just doesn't belong here, and I guess it's me.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, and I'm just out. I'm the outside looking in.
You know what else is not like the other? The Jake Arrieta fella again calling out teammates.
What'd you think of it?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I basked in it. Now, I will say, I had the same issue you did, Bob. The second he converted from we to I was like, yeah, right there, tons of fun. Why don't you? Oh, by the way, I recently learned tons of fun is a much more negative thing. It means the person's rather large. I just think that...
You didn't think that before?
No, I just thought it was a person that was all about being jolly and happy and happy-go-lucky.
I mean, it is a Tommy Boy reference, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right there, tons of fun. Yeah, exactly, but I
but
didn't
he's
think...
But he's a portly fella, so I guess... I guess that parallel could be.
I guess. But with Jake Arrieta.
I kind of took it the way you did, more or less. That it's not.
It doesn't mean you're fat.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're obese.
Yeah.
It just means, like, I'm, you know, goofy and I'm just happy all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm only worried about having a good time, right?
Yeah,
but
no.
Jake Arrieta goes, exactly. He did exactly what he did last year. He saw an effort that he didn't like, and he said, to hell with this. I'm saying what I want to say. I'm a seasoned veteran. I'm a Cy Young Award winner, whatever, and I don't see an effort that I approve of, so I'm going to go ahead and call up my teammates. You deal with it. Like, Jake Arrieta gives zero you-know-whats about what his team, what people in general think about him.
Right, no
question. And I admire that. I admire that in a human being.
Yeah, I didn't, like, Jamie, I thought we said this. Jamie said, I didn't mind it, and meaning he liked it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I liked it a little bit, I think is how Jamie phrased it. I didn't like it a little bit. And I don't mean to overstate. Like, part of me was just like, yeah, I don't like that. Not that it rules my day.
Right.
Yeah, I could have done with that.
Well, I'd certainly hope not, Bob. You got a lot of other things to be happy about in life.
Well, breakfast sandwich is one of them. But, you know, like, it's just, that's what hit me, Mark. You can do those things. And doing it in public, I never loved. As a reporter, I loved it. But I never loved it. Like, you do that to teammates. The I me stuff, that's...
Everything was just puppy dogs and ice cream up until he talked about how hard he was working.
Right.
I'm pitching my butt off. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right, okay, that's great. And then he got to that point, and you just say, pump the brakes there, Jake.
It's kind of like listening to Donovan McNabb, you know? Like, oh, what? Stop. Ah, you did it, didn't you?
No, usually when Donovan just opens his mouth, I'm just like...
Google me.
But speaking of Donovan and speaking of people that may be overshooting their shot, I guess, overstepping their bounds, I guess, stepping over the line, if you will, maybe Jake Arrieta will have a retraction. Last year he had a retraction. He talked about how much he loves Scott Kingery after he ripped Scott Kingery. I don't really remember him loving up on Gabe Kapler after he ripped those defensive shifts. I heard somebody tweeted you guys about that, whatever
yeah.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
But my mind went right to Kingery. When I heard those comments after the game last night, he was actually after Scott Kingery last year. We'll set that scene for you as the show goes on. But in terms of Jake Arrieta and Donovan McNabb, let's group in somebody else. Jared Dudley, public enemy number one right now in Philadelphia, who did a little backtracking yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just did the backpedal just a wee bit. And Donovan tried doing it on Twitter yesterday. We'll read those comments for you regarding what he had to say about Carson Wentz and how we may have misread or misunderstood what he was trying to say.
It was backtrack day, and that was a very good Nixon impression by you.
I guess that was pseudo-Nixon.
That was kind of Nixon. Yeah, he even had the peace sign.
My
up
mind,
all, yeah.
that was my quotes. Those were my air quotes.
But it looked like
I don't know
peace.
If you heard him on radio, whether through your radio, folks, or through your app, but that was air quoting that. But Donovan Donovan was trying to backtrack a little bit. Jared Dudley was certainly trying to backtrack a little bit. And maybe Jake Arrieta will come out, because you know he will most likely be sitting in the dugout today during batting practice, and people will go up to him. If I remember correctly, that's how it happened after a series against the San Francisco Giants last year, where people went up to him and said, "Yeah, Jake, you want to go back and talk about that real quick?
Let's revisit."
And he's just like, "I just love everybody. I love everybody. All my teammates, I just love them so much." So we'll delve into the backtrackers. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, not to go without notice here, the 76ers are about to close out the first round series tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. And that Jared Dudley character, who, I said it sarcastic, but yes, has become public enemy number one in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I went around yesterday for NBC Sports Philadelphia and asked people about Jared Dudley and if they could recognize him by a photo. My favorite thing was somebody said he looked like a baker. Yeah. He looks like a baker. I was like, "Hey, do you know who this guy is?" And they're like, "I don't know." I go, "If you had to guess," which, by the way, is such a stereotype question, like totally judge this person based off how they look. But who cares? It's fun. So I go, "Hey, what do you think? What do you think of this guy? What does he do for a living if you don't know?" And they're like, "Baker?" And I'm like, "All right." Another person was, he looked like an Uber driver. I was unaware they had a particular look.
He looks like he could make a mean sourdough.
And then one person said he looks like he does cartwheels professionally. That person was 6 years old.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I need that mescaline that person was on. But a six-year-old, that makes a lot more sense.
Actually, you know, it's funny, we talked about milkshakes yesterday. This little kid was like, it was having a McDonald's milkshake. And I was like, "I'm going to steal that for this kid.
I want that milkshake."
Does it make me a bad person if, like, when that kid was trying to answer my question, I was like, "I'm totally going to steal this kid's milkshake"? Does that make me a horrible human being?
No, it's a milkshake.
I think it just makes me totally normal.
Yeah, tipped a French fry in the shake?
That's a nice
move. I've done that in my life.
Oh, it's the best.
It is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. You know, you ever do like a, and you might say it's too much potato, too much starch, but I like a nice steak fry through that.
I love the steak fry. That's the best fry there is.
You know what? It's basically like a fried spoon you can eat of ice cream.
Yes.
That's basically what it becomes. So we're going to get into all of that, as you would assume, today. So much to get into. There's a lot to get into with this Sixers series, being able to close it out, because while the Phillies were having a fun-filled rain delay of about 2 hours, I was flipping around a little bit, and I came across the Bucks and the Pistons. And I was like, "Oh, well, the Pistons are giving them a little run for their money in the early goings here." And then Giannis is like, "All right, I got this, everybody."
Yeah.
And did you see the dunk on Thon Maker.
Maker,
last night?
Yeah.
It was like, it was one of those things where Giannis Antetokounmpo jumped up to a certain height, saw it was Thon Maker, and then, like, mid-jump, like, in air, was like, "I'll go 6 inches higher," and then just elevated even more and threw it down.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. And I believe he had the dunk earlier in the game that made the kid, like, pass out in the first row. If you saw that.
I did see that.
I couldn't believe what I was. So, look, this NBA playoff run, I got to be honest with you. I feel better about the coming years after watching this series with the Nets, and I'll speak about it as if it's in the past tense already, than I do about how they'll match up against Toronto. I'm still not there, Bob. I'm still not there, Bob.
I feel fear better. Toronto the most, but I've grown a lot in confidence.
But how so?
Because I've seen defensive effort and changes, and I think Brett had a very good first series.
He did. Brett had a of all the...
And I think the starters are going to have to play 42 minutes a game in the Toronto series for you to have that chance, but I believe they have a chance.
Is Joel going to play 42 minutes in the Toronto series?
I can only hang my hat on that hope.
Not happening. He was already at Shake Shack yesterday. We talked about it. No, but in all seriousness,
all this milkshake talk this morning.
You already have a breakfast in your stomach, unlike others.
Don't hold me against. I'm not responsible for that.
You know, I would have put it.
Why? Well, I'm not. No, I feel better about going against Toronto.
Okay, let's put it like this.
Yeah, so do I.
All right, let's put it like this. If I was 100% sure that they were going to lose to the Toronto Raptors, okay, 99% sure.
Smell a pole cooking.
No. I'm not going to, because you know what we're going to do? That's tomorrow's poll after they lose out. Today's poll is whether or not you agree with Jake Arrieta calling out his teammates. And by the way, we'll let you hear all the fine sound of that coming up in a little bit here in the next segment. But by the way, I'm going to laugh if Pat Egan goes out to Wawa and gets you a milkshake and nobody else, Jamie. and I don't put it past him. But put it at this, Bob. If I was 99% sure they were going to lose to the Raptors in the second round of the playoffs, I'm now 90% sure they're going to lose to the Raptors.
I don't know. I kind of like the way this team's going. I like what they're doing defensively. The numbers with Jimmy Butler, with him on the floor defensively in this series, is unbelievable. He has become a real, like, points per possession that the team gives up per 100 possessions when he's on the floor versus when he's not on the floor. It's staggering. And same thing with Embiid. I like their defense. I like the new things that Brett Brown's doing. And, you know, it's coming to fruition. This starting five is really, really good.
Oh, they are. And I love watching them. And like I said, this has given me a lot more confidence in the team after this series. No.
Apparently
in the future, Bob. The distant. The
you want to wait until Kawhi goes out west and you want to what?
Yes, actually. Yeah. What
future with Giannis are that makes you so comfortable?
No. Well, I like how they match up against the Bucks.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't like how they match up against the Raptors.
I'm getting more confident.
So am I.
Once they get past this series, I'll dive in.
I am. Don't you act like I'm being pessimistic.
You just said 90% chance they lose.
Bob, why don't you focus on the 9% more confident than I am?
No.
How about that?
Nope.
I was 90.
You're not afforded that.
Stay on that side. How about that? All right. We'll get into that. We got Robert in Lawrenceville. We got Philly J in D.C. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. We'll let you hear the comments coming up in this next segment for Jake Arrieta. By the way, are we going Arrieta or Arrieta? I always thought it was Arrieta.
I say Arrieta, but I think it's Arrieta.
I say Arrieta because there's two R's.
There's two R's.
That's why I go
R. And there's only one T.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Does Andrew have a thought on this? He's a seam hen.
Are you go Arrieta?
Yes.
All right. We'll air out our grievances, I guess.
Arrabbiata? Isn't that a Italian dish?
What? I think he might be Italian Puerto Rican. I'm not kidding. I think he's Italian Puerto Rican.
Huh?
Yeah, like I'm Italian American, right?
Yeah.
You know, well, half. But I believe that's the anyway. So Jake Arrieta, we'll discuss his comments coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas up today. Be back Friday. A little draft reaction. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, a vacation. Andrew South.
She had a nice dinner last night at the Old Country Buffet in Florida.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about
her. She said it's her favorite.
She had
a big old slice of meatloaf, I believe. I was like, get it, girl. I love me a meatloaf, so I respect that.
I'll say this about meatloaf, okay?
It wasn't marketed well, because the loaf and meat together is not very sexy.
It wasn't marketed well.
I enjoy a homemade meatloaf. I have never in my life ever been out at a restaurant and had meatloaf and enjoyed the meatloaf.
I would agree with you.
And
homemade meatloaf, much superior.
The only way to go.
Meatloaf is a diner thing. More than a restaurant,
really?
To me, it's like a diner thing.
I feel like if anybody's going to do it well, it should be, you know, your Old Country Buffet. Or not Old Country Buffet, Cracker Barrel.
Name a better household homemade leftover.
Ooh, the meatloaf sandwich on a Kaiser roll with a little bit of ketchup. Oh, yeah.
Look at you. You just had a sizzly and you're like, meatloaf sandwich?
Meatloaf?
Thanks for talking about food when one of us is absolutely starving.
I have a clementine in my bag, Bob, if you'd like one.
No, that's okay. I have an appreciate apple, you offering, though, Mark.
I have an apple,
very nice of you.
But let me just say this about Sam Wilson real quick so we can get the Jake Arrieta comments. But Sam Wilson, my respect skyrocketed for that young lady. Not that it was ever low, but she goes out and her favorite's Old Country Buffet, or excuse me, what was it, Cracker Barrel?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. mad props to Sam for that one. And she was so excited in the photo.
Yeah, she was.
She's down there visiting her boy.
Went to
Dion.
His game yesterday.
Went to his game yesterday. He's a ball player playing in A-ball.
And Pirates, yeah.
For the Pirates organization. And she goes down there and they go out to Old Country Buffet. She's like, babe, let's go to my dream place. And they go, and he's like, sure, babe. And they go out and they're enjoying the meatloaf together. Yeah. It's a beautiful
meatloaf's
thing.
Meatloaf's fine item.
Mom, the meatloaf! Sorry, I had to do it once. So Jake Arrieta, here's the deal. Jake Arrieta comes out yesterday, and he was doing well for at least a while, and then he was doing just okay. Now, he has been the Phillies' probably most consistent pitcher throughout the year. He only went six innings yesterday, so he failed to go, I believe, four straight starts with at least six innings pitched. He ended up allowing four runs, three earned on seven hits, striking out seven, walking one, throwing 99 pitches in those six innings of work. There were a couple errors in the game. JT Realmuto had a throwing error. Aaron Altair, Cesar Hernandez had some errors in this game. Rhys Hoskins hit the home run. Cesar Hernandez had two hits. So two Phillies had hits for you. They just had three hits in the game overall after a two-hour delay at Citi Field in New York. Now, Steve Matz, on the other hand, six innings pitch, a complete about face where he failed to record an out just about a week ago against the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. Completely about face for him. One earned run over those six innings of work and just three hits allowed, two walks issued. Now, after the game, that also featured Bryce Harper getting thrown out for arguing balls and strikes from the dugout, which is the cheapest version of throwing out in all of sports. It's like, I hear you.
Rabbit ears.
Rabbit ears. Yeah. Totally 100% rabbit ears by the home plate umpire who's calling the balls and strikes. So Bryce Harper gets thrown out. You see him run out of the dugout. Gabe Kapler runs out a couple of steps faster.
Taking ass and taking names.
To try to protect his guy, throws Bryce Harper away from the umpire a couple of times and begins arguing the case. Now, needless to say, Bryce Harper out of the game now. You don't have that bat in the lineup, batting third for you any longer. So that's a huge hit to the Phillies' offense, as you would assume. So Jake Arrieta, after the game, that's just his jumping off point. He's got a huge issue at first with himself, and then later more so his teammates. Here's Jake Arrieta on the Bryce Harper ejection.
I mean, he's got to understand, look, we need him in right field. I don't care how bad the umpire is. He wasn't great for either side. I'm out there trying to make pitches. He misses some calls. So what? Like, we need him out there. I don't care how bad he is. I need him in right field. I need him at the plate. And he wasn't there.
You would need Bryce Harper. You'd think you'd like him out there for more than two at-bats, right, Bob?
Oh, hell yeah.
Do we have any issue with what Jake Arrieta is saying there?
So far, not bad. I'm out there trying to make pitches. Yeah, that's a no bleep. Okay, but yeah, so far, okay.
And the other part of this is that Bryce Harper even came out after the game and said the same thing. Yeah, I can't get ejected in that situation there. Now, Gabe Kapler, we'll let you hear from him in a minute, but he basically said there was nothing abnormal than what goes on from every game-to-game situation with chirping from the dugout. There was nothing outlandish. There wasn't like a personal attack, cursing, whatever. He said there was none of that. It was just a matter of simple dugout chatter, if you will. Now, here's the other part. Again, two-hour delay, rain delay in New York. Jake Arrieta talked about how the team really didn't look like they had a spark under him.
We were flat. Dugout was flat. Defense wasn't good. Didn't throw the ball well as a staff overall. We got beat.
All right, issues? Okay. Issues all around? No? Okay, good. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Still feeling pretty good. Maybe they need a little kick in the old keister here. And how about this last one from Jake Arrieta? This is where it might rub some people the wrong way.
We started at 8:45, and I don't think our guys were ready to play. I'm out there doing everything I can to win a game. I need my guys behind me. I'm not happy with the way we showed up today. We need to come out tomorrow ready to go.
Starts with we. Focus then shifts to I.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out there doing everything I can. I can't help it. I have to ask this question. Because this is how the season started. Did Jake Arrieta see something? This is sheer speculation. I'm just asking a question because it's come up in the past. Little Fortnite in the clubhouse? I'm not saying they were doing. I'm not suggesting that's what they were doing. I'm just saying during those 2 hours, did he see something that rubbed him the wrong way? Did he see something in the clubhouse? Because, look, it's the last time he did this, he did it in June. It's April 23rd. For this to happen this early in the season, Jake Arrieta had to see something, I would think, outside of just the way they played on the field to make him go, these guys aren't taking this serious enough.
Hmm.
See, they're coming off losing 3 of 4 to the Rockies.
Right. So now you've lost 4 of 5. You're 12-10 after 22. Is 22 too early to like really start calling people out? Could be. I went the other way. I went to on-field, like Cesar Hernandez making the base-running blunder the other night. 3 errors last night. The team, yeah, flat. You just came from Colorado. That's tough. You come from Colorado after playing a Sunday, and you're right back at it on a Monday, and then a two-hour rain delay. That's tough. I didn't think of the inside stuff, but you very well could be onto something.
When it's come up in the past with this clubhouse having issues of concentration, and you have a veteran like Jake Arrieta, for instance, they might see things in there that they don't like. See things in the clubhouse where you're trying to get ready for a game, and you want your teammates to be on the same page as you, and you come out with a 3-hit performance for your offense. When your pitcher, for the most part of this game, was doing well. I mean, 6 innings, 3 runs he allowed. Yeah. I mean, three earned, rather. 4 overall. Yeah, you might want to see a little bit better performance. You might want to look around.
One of my questions in the 5 o'clock hour, Mark, was, who's he directing it to? Because it's probably not Rhys Hoskins. I don't think it's an Andrew McCutchen. You know, Michael Franco's done nothing but kept his mouth shut and played pretty well. It's certainly not Real Muto, who's the pro's pro. You have reserves playing at shortstop. Cesar's at second, but how long is he going to be there? Mm-hmm. Like, who's it directed towards, these young guys? So Cesar started popping into mine and Jamie's head, like with the base running blunder the other night.
And he had a tag last night that led to an earned run.
Right.
That should have been made. And maybe Arrieta sees that. And, you know, his blood was already borderline boiling. And then he sees an unearned run that shouldn't have happened. And he starts to get, you know, hulkish.
But it's so early in the season.
But I think he realizes as a vet that the NL East is so good. Like, for the most part, these 5 teams are going to just slugfest each other.
Sure.
And he's seen some stagnant bats now for 4 of the last 5 games, and it's a division opponent. And I think it might be a combination of the two, because I didn't even think about the clubhouse 2-hour delay.
Mm-hmm.
So if he sees something there, then sees Cesar not apply a tag that should have been made, on top of Sunday's mistake, on top of the bats being quiet, I think he just went Hulk on him.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me think it had something to do, anything to do with the clubhouse, is that it's this early in the season, and he's got replacements in the game.
Yeah.
Like, why am I going to call out teammates who aren't going to be there in a week or two anyway, playing regularly?
Yeah.
So something made me think, that makes me think that he saw something in the clubhouse that went, guys, what? Like, pick this up. Like, we got to take this more seriously. We have a phenomenal opportunity here to be a great baseball team. And I don't know what was going on. Again, it's just my hunch. It just seemed like the post-game comments were almost too strong for this early in the season and for replacements being in there. Like a guy like Gosselin, for instance, a guy like Altair. Later, Roman Quinn after Bryce Harper gets thrown out.
Right.
That just made me go, is there more to this story? I'm only asking the question.
It's a great question, Mark. That's a great question. Your spider senses are tingling.
I got a new spider. Thanks, Bob. All right, now, as promised, I do. Bryce Harper did talk about getting thrown out in, what was it, the 4th inning. Cesar Hernandez was at the plate, and he didn't like the strike, so Bryce Harper gets thrown out of the game. Here's Bryce Harper post-game talking about how he can't get thrown out.
I mean, it just can't happen. My side, in a game like that against the Mets, division rival, things like that, just can't happen. You know, for me, myself, and this team as well, we're a better team than me in the lineup, and I got to stay in there.
All right, we'll hear from Gabe Kapler on what he had to say. I love seeing Gabe all fired up.
Oh, he was animated last night.
He was pumped.
He's kicking ass and taking names.
There was one instance last year where I saw him really angry, and this was pretty much the same thing. And I think it was over the same instance, or not somebody getting thrown out, because I think it was the first Phillies player to get thrown out since like 2015.
It was.
We love it. We love it. I think it's incredible.
And if you can name that player, because I did read it this morning.
Oh,
but
wait,
I can't
2015
remember.
Ejection?
Yeah.
The first player was ejected since then?
Yeah. I saw that somewhere.
What a bunch of cowards.
Yeah.
This should be a couple of years.
But the first guy that came to mind was Papelbon.
Yeah, but it what? No, the guy's name was like Justin something or
I'll find Justin in a break.
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a.
All right, Robert Lawrenceville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robert, real quick, when a player calls out his teammates like Jake Arrieta, are you in favor of?
I would say I'm definitely in favor of the team because to me, you're just throwing your entire team under the bus.
Yeah, when you're a veteran like that, I think you can get away with it. I think he got away with it last year because I'll paint that picture for people. Because that game was, it was after a series against the San Francisco Giants where they scored one run in three games in San Francisco. And I'll read the quotes after that game from Jake Arrieta about what he had to say about the defensive alignments from Gabe Kapler and how Scott Kingery was fielding at shortstop.
To be honest, like you guys said before, I mean, the game started 2 hours late. You guys just got back from Colorado. I mean, the team's going to be tired. I mean, that plane ride from Colorado to New York is no joke. I mean, it's long. I mean, then you got to wait 2 hours. I mean, come on. I mean, who's not going to be tired?
Right.
But back to the Nets and Sixers. I'm a huge fan of you guys. I listen to you guys all the time because I'm always in Philly. I'm a huge Nets fan. I know you guys are going to hate that.
No. Hey, look, all are welcome at this table, my friend. Well, what do you got to say? We'll rip you later. Don't worry.
So I think the Jared Dudley and that whole scenario was stupid by Jared Dudley because he changed the whole scenario in the game. I mean, you got rid of Jimmy Butler. Yeah, congrats. You got rid of Jimmy Butler. But what was he really doing besides playing defense the entire game? I think... Before, when you guys were talking about the flagrant fouls, I don't think the second flagrant foul on Joel Embiid with Jared Allen was even a foul. I think he got all ball the entire time. I mean, the swat down was a lot, but I mean, to be honest, he got the whole ball.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the first one with the elbow, I think it could have been a flagrant too, but I mean, that's just me personally. But I truly believe the second one, I mean, I think he got all ball and it wasn't even a foul.
Robert, you are a very well-educated Nets fan. You are welcome to call at any point.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, man.
It's amazing. I don't think I've ever met one.
I've never met a Brooklyn Nets fan at all, anyway. Now, that doesn't count. Before game two, I was at Xfinity
Live.
Yeah,
that doesn't count.
And there was like a group of them.
Like met one in the wild. They were not in a work. Yeah, like I didn't know they were out there.
Met one in the wild. Don't touch them. The mother will smell your scent.
They're hungry.
They won't feed them after that. Philly J. Actually, real quick, before I get to Philly J, I want to get to this here because I promised I'd get to this. Here's Jake Arrieta's comments after the game in San Francisco last year at the conclusion of a three-game series. It was a 6-1 loss with Arrieta on the bump, and the Phillies just got swept in San Francisco. And here's what Arrieta said after that game. I worked too hard for this bleep. Something has to change. We need some accountability all the way around. Everybody from top to bottom. If there is not any accountability, I'll make sure that there is. We had bad defensive shifts. We're the worst in the league with shifts. It's about deflating. It's about as deflating as it gets. So we need to change that. How do you change it? One reporter asked. Copy the best, Arrieta said. I don't know. It's not my job. Which is always a shot at the manager whenever it comes to, oh, not my job.
Not my job.
Exactly. And then somebody said, use your eye, or Arrieta said, use your eyes, make an adjustment. We need to get better at this. Use your eyes. What's he referring to? Put the computer down?
Yeah.
A little bit. So then he goes on to talk about Scott Kingery. And he says, Scott Kingery, there was a ground ball to shortstop, and he could have turned two. Instead, Kingery didn't charge the ball. Right? Didn't charge the ball.
Right.
Waited.
I remember this play. Yeah.
So he could have gotten two outs, I believe, and only didn't even get one. So Kingery didn't charge the ball. It took too much time. So after the game, Arrieta says, Kingery should have gone to second base on that play. We needed out on that situation, at least one out. There are three hits in a row at that point, and he credits the Giants for being able to get after it a little bit there in that inning. Overall, really bleeping, really bad series, I'll just say. Really bad. Really, really bad. So that's not the first. This isn't the first time that he's done that.
No.
Now, the last time he singled out a player in Scott Kingery, the only player he really singled out was Harper for getting ejected.
And Bryce agreed with him. So I think that was kind of the moot point. I think where you guys, or at least Bob, took umbrage is the me,
I'm
us
doing,
into
yeah.
me.
Exactly.
And by the way, I got your little fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
Last
yeah.
Philly player to be ejected.
Yes.
Any guesses? Final chance?
I read it this morning and it didn't even stick in my head.
Avante LeBlanc tweets it in at us.
Oh, nice.
At no one like D. That was Philly favorite Justin DeFreitas, man.
That was Justin. Justin DeFreitas.
DeFreitas. Yeah, last Philly to get ejected.
Frady. That was, you have a jersey, don't you, Mark?
Damn right I do. Right next to him. No, that falls under my rule of he's younger than me. I'm never buying a jersey. I was going to say it's right next to my Pina Cavilla jersey, but it's not happening.
By the way,
yes?
Jimmy Rollins was phenomenal last night.
He was terrific.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Mark didn't like him.
What?
You don't like Tony Romo either, did you?
What? Uh-huh. What did Jimmy do?
No. Jimmy, well.
Jimmy was good.
Jimmy was good. Yes, he was good.
What's the problem?
You went phenomenal. I'm not ready to say phenomenal.
I'm loving too early too often.
We'll get to that in a second. But Philly J, we will get to it. But Philly J, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, how y'all guys doing?
Real quick, I'm asking everybody. This is our poll question. Jake Arrieta calling out teammates. Yay or nay?
Yes, I'm not a Philly fan.
I understand that, but I'm that's the story.
I don't have no problem with it, I guess.
That a guy. Good for you.
First of all, get to the Sixers. I wanted to, I think Giannis and Kawhi Leonard are the two best players, hands down. I mean, those two guys. Is it true that we could have had Kawhi Leonard, but the Sixers didn't want to give up Markelle Fultz?
I think it was Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. I don't think it was Fultz.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I think those two are the best players hands down in the league. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That LeBron era, that's over. And I'm not really, I agree with you, Mark. I'm not really that confident they could beat the Raptors. I've been saying all year, this team's done in the second round. If they do beat the Raptors, then I'll call up and be like, yeah, I was wrong. But, I don't think they're going to beat the Raptors in the second round. They were the Eagles, right? He read a quote. I wish Trey Thomas was here. He read a quote that made my ears perk up like a dog. Lane Johnson said, former players come in here, shake our hands, and then talk negative to us. And then he turned his attention back to McNabb. Now, McNabb lives in Chicago, right?
I honestly
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Arizona. Okay, so he's not really, I'm just going to go on a limb and say he's not really around the Eagles facility that much.
Mm-hmm.
So that Eagle player that was on that station raised a question. Is he talking about other former Eagles also? Because he said former players come in here and shake our hands and then leave and talk negative about us. And I'm like, okay, McNabb's not really around the facility all like that. So I'm like, who else could he be talking about?
Lane Johnson was that.
Nah, I don't know.
Brandon Graham had some comments on the Lane post yesterday on Instagram we can dive into.
Let's get into that.
Because BG is one of the oldest guys in that locker room.
My God. Isn't that crazy?
His longest tenured, I should say. Not oldest. No, he's only, what, 32?
Yeah, but you're not that far off.
Yeah.
We got Pat Ambler. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll delve into that just a little bit, and maybe we'll even get into these Donovan McNabb comments coming up in a few here on 90.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
75, The Fanatic. I gotta ask a question if I'm a jerk. Four, and I'll fill that in 1 second, but I do want to tell people that at 9 o'clock today, well, 8 o'clock, we'll tell you how you can win up to $10,000 with our big green giveaway. 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Jimmy Kempski because there's a little thing that starts on Friday, Bob, called the NFL Draft.
How about that?
I don't know why that sound gives me agita.
Why does
that song give me agita?
It excites me.
You get warm and fuzzies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the NFL draft, like, look, it was awesome. And the city of Philadelphia, if you pat ourselves on the back, phenomenal. It was wonderful. It was great.
It was.
We did a great job in this city. Everybody did a great job in this city with that. But I don't know. I'm just like, oh, God. Because now it's become whatever that faux call and responses. And I just get reminded of how much I can't stand Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
And he's such a... he's such a chicken you-know-what that he has to have other people come out and do the picks so he doesn't get booed all the time. Like, that's how that started. And everything... Like, I remember... I forget what draft it was. It seemed like he was just grabbing...
Marcus Mariota.
We'd only been talking about him for a year.
Yeah, when he started going full hug,
yeah,
instead of the handshake, and it wasn't even the bro hug anymore. Mm-hmm. It was like two hands.
We take
around.
Seriously anything that potentially impacts the integrity of the game.
Yeah, sure you do. They're tons of fun, and I mean it in every category. No, I don't mean it in the fat category. Whatever, but I can't stand the guy, and it's like the Roger Goodell show, especially the first.
Can't stand you.
I can't stand him. I can't.
First round is definitely all him. Yeah.
Well, it's not like he makes like $55 million a year or anything.
Did he get the private jet? Did he get health care for his family for life? I don't think he did. I think he lost out on those two negotiating points. I asked for the same thing, and the Fanatic was like, we're not doing it. And I'm like, come on! But anyway, so that's Thursday. We're going to talk to Jimmy Kemski at 9 o'clock. And starting at 7 o'clock, we're going to have our caller of the day win a fine prize. Now, I have admitted that I am not a big Avengers guy, but you'll win, listen to this, a prize pack for the Avengers Endgame. And that means Endgame prize pack is 2 Fandango tickets, good for any theater that uses Fandango, the grave course of events set in motion by Thanos that wiped out half. They're giving me a movie trailer line as part of the.
Doing your movie trailer guy voice.
Can we get some dramatic music?
Give me a second.
All right, no, give me some. Jamie's going to get some music. I didn't realize this was like a movie trailer
line. How about that? You're all over it.
Who was it? What's the guy's name? Was it Don LaFontaine?
He was the movie trailer guy.
Is that right?
I believe so. I believe that was the guy's name. I think I'm correct on this one.
But I don't doubt you.
We got here, it opens in theaters Friday, Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios. People are...
in a world.
It's kind of like that. Here we go.
The grave course of events set in motion by Thanos that wiped out...
Sorry, this YouTube's all over the place.
Now this is Gladiator?
Yeah, just go with it.
Maximus Decimus Meridius, finder of the...
Thanos that wiped out half the universe and fractured the Avengers' ranks compels the remaining Avengers to take one final stand. In Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films, Avengers Endgame.
So you get 2 tickets to that. That'll be fun.
Opens the theaters Friday! I'm excited. I came around late to the Avengers series.
Yes.
But it's going
to
be good.
I still have yet to get there. My GPS is still recalculating.
Check it out.
All right.
It's a good Netflix.
All right.
Yeah, just do it. Don't think too hard about it.
Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of a father to a slain son, husband to a murdered wife. Phenomenal picture. That's a picture,
like
Bob
that.
Cooney.
Now that's a picture.
So am I a jerk I go to this comedy show. I was at this bachelor party last week in Denver. I had those 2 days off. Bob, you remember. And I'm out there. And they do this thing with the phone. And I had been to a lot of comedy shows, right, in my life. And they never took my phone before. And they took my phone and they put it in this little sleeve-like thing and locked it.
Sleeve-like thing?
Yeah, it was like a
condom.
And the sleeve,
it was a phone condom.
And the sleeve-like thing gets locked.
There's a cell phone Jimmy cap.
And it was, they like lock it. The lock looked like something you would see on a shirt at a store to prevent shoplifting.
Oh, okay.
Like one of them.
Where they take off with the little machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they say, sir, do you have your phone? And I happen to have my phone in my hand. I go, yeah, it's right here. And the guy like all but ripped it from my grasp and put it in the little sleeve thing, locked it and handed it back to me, say, we'll unlock it when we get done the show.
Oh.
I'm like, the hell you will. I was offended, right? Because I have a tremendous amount of respect for anybody that's a performer. Anybody that's got to perform in front of an audience, tremendous amount of respect.
Right.
Like, people, if I'm with somebody and it's a comedy show and that person's talking, I don't go evil eye.
Well, there was that
I go, you shut your mouth.
Your old story, remember when you went on the double or triple date to the comedy in Old City?
Oh, yeah. Dude.
And girls were talking, and you almost freaked out.
Oh, I told him. I was like, that's what I said.
Yeah, man, a man's got to have a code, right?
That was a 30-person seated theater thing, and they were right by the stage.
And you're like a special guest, you were, kind of.
I was not a special guest.
I thought you were.
The guy was very nice afterwards and gave me a shout out at the end of the show, and he said he listened to our show and it was very nice. But now I knew that person associated me with the talkers. So anyway, they say to me, hey, you got to put your phone in this thing, whatever. So they put my phone and I have it in my hand, and I go, so now I have to rely on a theater of about 700 people. I have to rely on these ushers to be there to unlock my phone, basically, and take it out. Weird. And I'm like, I don't know who's going to call me. I don't know if there's going to be an emergency. And now I got to worry about, I have to rely on somebody else to make sure that I have access to the entire world, basically. So I go to another usher and I say, and I would never record somebody. I've been to, again, respect for the performer. I would never text. I never even take out my phone during a show. So sure enough, I go to another usher and I'm just like, hey, I'm on call. I didn't say I'm a doctor. I didn't say that. I just said, hey, I'm on call. I need my phone. And they go, oh, sir, certainly, sir. So I guess they thought that I felt it go off and I need to call somebody back.
Right.
So they unlock it for me. They go, we'll just lock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.